Thanks for checking out the Anchor Faith Message podcast from St. Augustine, Florida. Now enjoy this message.
The spirit of faith. You need to connect this morning and grab hold of the spirit of faith, because it doesn't matter if you're in church. It doesn't matter if you're serving. It doesn't matter if you read your Bible every day. If you're not doing it and you're not getting hooked up in the spirit of faith, then you're not getting it. And the devil's defeating you. And we need to grab hold of this spirit of faith, because it's something that you catch by doing it every day. By doing it, not just going through the motions, but I'm talking about no matter what hits you in life, that you can say, ha, 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 I'm not moved by that. So let me not get ahead of myself, and let me go ahead and jump into this. So believe God with me, and the way you hear is super important, because the Bible says, take heed how you hear. And why is it that some people can sit here and not get a thing and walk out just as locked up as they were when they came in? And one person can walk out of here free indeed and get more revelation. Why does that happen? It's how you hear. And so you got to hook up with the spirit of faith, hook up with the Holy Ghost, and say, I'm going to suck everything out of this 50-year-old. I don't care. 50-year young. Suck me dry. Just say, I'm going to get everything I can get this morning from the Word of God. Amen? All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27 says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run? They all run. Okay, so we're all running. We're all trucking. I'm not the fastest runner, but we're all running. And everybody that runs doesn't get the prize. Doesn't get it. Why don't they get it? Because a lot of them stop running. A lot of them, you know, the song that we were just singing said that I will maintain, I will do this, I will believe you, I will trust you, I will. You know, pastor's been talking about this is your choice. God is not in control. Right? This is our decision. Every day, the Lord says he sets before you life and death every day. Every day. Today I've set before you life and death. Choose life so that you can live and prosper and be in health and do everything that he's called you to do. Every day you make that choice. So all the runners are running, but it says, run that you may obtain it. Run that you will actually win the prize. Run that you will take possession of the prize, that you will conquer. And we're going to talk a little bit about conquering today. But I want to read to you in the Amplified. It says in 1 Corinthians, I do not flail around. I do not flail around like one beating the air, just shadow boxing. You know, I'm concerned that some of us are just shadow boxing a little bit. That we're fighting the wrong fight. That we're fighting things in the natural. We're fighting off the symptoms. We're fighting off the bills. We're fighting off our emotions. We're fighting all those things, but we're not actually living and getting it and living in the spirit of faith. You got to quit fighting this seen fight. You got to quit thinking, I'm healed. I'm healed of the Lord. I got to get these symptoms off of me. You're fighting the wrong fight. You got to know that you know and get it on the inside and know that God is your healer. God's your redeemer. God's the one that sets you free. Did he say it? Will he not do it? Is he not faithful? You got to get everything within you. It's got to be in your bloodstream. It's got to be in you that you know that he is able to perform. He is able to do that. So what are we fighting? What are we conquering? What is this good fight of faith that we're in? The Bible says fight the good fight. Fight this good fight of faith. No more shadow boxing. I want you to walk out of here today and say, I'm not going to shadow box anymore. No more shadow boxing. I'm not going to be hitting the air. I'm not going to be flailing around. Just swinging at stuff. Just trying to get that off of me. You know, you're not trying to get anything from God. Quit trying to get healed. Quit trying to get faith. Quit trying to get provision. Quit trying to get that stuff. You don't have to try to get anything. You already got it. And when you realize you already got it, then you can just kind of take a step back and sit in your little seat next to Jesus, where the Bible says that you're supposed to be seated, and you don't have to worry about a thing. You can just sit there, and when those fiery darts come, you can say, that's under my feet. I know I've got it. I'm not waiting to see the manifestation. I'm not waiting for the report from the Lord, from the doctor. I know the report of the Lord. I'm not waiting on the doctor's report. You got to get it and know that you got it. And my prayer for you early this morning and last night is that we would capture this spirit of faith, that we would get this spirit of faith. The Bible talks about different spirits, you know, and I'm not talking about familiar spirits. I'm not talking about evil spirits. I'm talking about your spirit. Okay. Our year is about having a what kind of spirit? A reigning spirit, a strong spirit, a powerful spirit, a conquering spirit, a spirit that overcomes. The Bible talks about a wounded spirit. The Bible talks about a broken spirit. The Bible talks about a weak spirit, weak in faith, weak in spirit, broken in spirit. How do we know, how do you know that you have a strong spirit? And I'm going to give you some indicators today that you know that I'm strong in my faith, that I know that I'm strong in my spirit. Let's get the prize. Let's don't just run aimlessly today. Let's get the prize, but let's not just get the prize. Let's keep the prize. Let's get the prize every day of our lives, all the time. Because I can honestly say in 50 years, I don't know where I would be if it wasn't for him. He has been so faithful and so good to take us from faith to faith and from glory to glory just by doing the word. And so I can look at his faithfulness on my life, on my husband's life, my family, our church, and go, wow, God's been so good. It's not anything that we did, but it's what he did because we obeyed the word of God. Because we just were doers. When everything looked like it wasn't happening, things weren't going through, we said, God, you're good, you're faithful, we trust you, we'll not be moved. And you got to learn to live your life like that. You got to learn to laugh. We had a moment. They took me out of town for my birthday, and my husband and I went out in Orlando. I would not want to live in Orlando at all. And the traffic is horrible. When you think it's bad here, it's so much worse there. And so we went out for what we thought was going to be a quick, we left the girls at the hotel. We were going to go out for a quick run to the store and run, get some ice cream and, you know, do a couple of things. And so we go out and the traffic was horrible. And one thing after another, I spilled the shake in the car and it was just one little fiery dart after another. And we got in our hotel and had a moment at the elevator, and I just started laughing. Just first of all by faith, and then just started laughing, and then we were laughing in the elevator, because you can't be moved by that kind of stuff. Get your emotions and your little self all in a twist, and you got to learn to not let it quit. Be quick about it. Be quick about not letting stuff get to you. Be quick about not living in the seen realm. Be quick about not yielding to your emotions, because they shouldn't be sitting on the throne anyway. So let's talk about indicators that you have a strong spirit, that you have a reigning spirit, ways that you can know that you have that, this spirit of faith. Number one, that you're fervent in spirit. You're fervent in spirit. Romans chapter 12, verse 11 says, be diligent and be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. What does that mean? What does fervent in spirit mean? It means hot, like white hot, like built up, like on fire. That you have an on fire spirit. You know what it makes me think of? It makes me think of when Revelation says, and all the angels constantly, day and night, say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And you know, I believe when we all are together in that day, that there's going to be such a trickle effect. When somebody says holy, it's just going to, holy, glory to God. Like you can't contain it. It's you're hot in your spirit. We should be living that way right now, where when things are happening in the spirit, it's a quick glory to God. That we don't just look and go, what are they doing? What's happening in them? But that we believe that God is faithful. Do we want to start seeing more gifts of the Spirit and healings happening and things changing in people's life? Well, you better get fervent in your spirit. You better get hot on the inside. And the way that you do that is by building yourself up in your most holy faith. I know Pastor Marcy ministered on ways that you can have a reigning spirit and a strong spirit. You've got to build yourself up in your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. You got to be in the Word, but you got to pray in the Spirit. And it's not when you feel like it. And it doesn't matter what your circumstances are saying, what your emotions are saying. You just, everywhere you are, and I'm not talking about being weird, and I'm not talking about going out in public and acting all spiritual. There's a big, big difference in someone who wants to be religious and act like they're spiritual and someone who's really got it on the inside. And you know the difference. You know the difference when people are really living it and when people are just putting on a show. And Jesus was super clear with those religious leaders who did everything according to the law perfectly. He said, y'all are dead man's bones. You're whitewashed tombs. You're hypocrites. And he said, let my righteousness exceed that of those guys. Because even though outwardly they did everything perfectly, inwardly they weren't right. And so you know, the scripture says you know your heart. You know where you're at. And I would admonish you today, if you don't know where you're at in faith and you know that you're trying to get stuff and you're laboring for it, then get yourself in a position of faith by reading the Word and praying in the Holy Ghost and meditating on whatever that area is that you're believing Him for. So Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16 says, I know your works, that you're neither hot nor cold. I would wish that you were hot or cold. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Some of us are lukewarm and we're not hot. And you need to be hot in your spirit. And I'm going to tell you that when I go through these indicators, you're going to know if you're fervent. You're going to know if you're hot. You're going to know if you're built up in the Spirit, because I can look at some of your faces and tell you, maybe not. You've got to be the one that says, I'm getting everything that I can get today. God, Holy Ghost, give it to me. Everything that I can get, I receive it. Anything you want to say to me, I hear it. My heart is open. The eyes of my understanding are open. You've got to be in that posture. Or are you just here so that you can check a box? Are you just here so that you can say, I did my duty and I feel pretty good about myself? Now, we don't like to think of ourselves that way. We don't like to think. But honestly, sometimes we do appease our conscience by coming to church, by doing these works in our own flesh. And God never wanted you to do that. You should be here because you love Him and you trust Him and you want to be part of a body that He's called you to. That's why you should be here. You should read the Word of God because you love Him and you trust Him and you want to get everything you can get from Him. You should pray in the Holy Ghost because you love the Holy Ghost and you want to hear from Him and you want Him to reveal things to you, not so that you can just, I feel good about myself today. Now, you know if that's what you're doing, and it's not that we wake up and go, I'm going to actually check my boxes, but you know in your conscience if you just feel a little bit better because you did something. You just feel a little bit stronger because you checked off your boxes on your Bible reading plan. Where's your heart at? What's your motive? Because in Daniel, it says those that truly know God, he will do great exploits through those people. And we want to really know him, really love him, really trust him. Okay, so hot, fervent, built up. That should be your first response no matter what happens. Like the angels that we say, holy, glory, thank you, Father. I'm not moved. When stuff hits you, what is your first response? What is your default page set on? What do you do when a trial comes? Is your first response to go, oh my God, what am I going to do? How are we going to handle this? If it is, you got to change it. I'm telling you, this is faith. This is not fake. This is not putting on a show. This is how you do it. This is how we do it. This is how you do it. This is how you live it. You want to live it or not? You can't be worried about what people think. When stuff comes at you, you got to get down deep and say, God, I believe you. I'm not going to be moved. Ha, ha, ha. I'm not moved by this situation. You're my provider. You're my healer. You're my redeemer. You're the one that sets me free. I'm not going to be moved. You got to be that confident. You got to have it in you where nothing can move you off of that. God's so good. He's so faithful. The ministry of the Holy Ghost. Faith is a spiritual thing. This is not something that you're doing in the scene out here. You're not trying to get it. Faith is in your spirit. This spirit of faith is what you've got to catch. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I am surely yelling today and spitting. Verse 7. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, what is that talking about? The law, the Ten Commandments. If the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? If that was glorious, if they couldn't even look at Moses' face, can people look at your face? I'm just saying. How much more glorious should this ministry of the Holy Ghost be in your everyday life? Not when you're here. Not that I can look at you right now and go, the anointing's on you. And we can all jump in it here. This is easy. When we all add our measure of faith here, awesome things can happen. Awesome things can happen. But what are you doing out there? What are you doing in your everyday personal life? This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where you're either living in faith or you're living in doubt. And you can't think that you can just come up in here and just get faith like Saul did every time David played and he got peace and he got relief and he felt so much better. And then David left and he was no different and he was not changed. We have to ask ourselves, is that us? Is nothing wrong for you longing to come to church and be in this atmosphere, but do you walk out of here and do it? Do you walk out of here and live it? Do you walk out of here and you actually are different? You actually are free. You actually can do a dance in your house. You actually can say glory to God in the shower. Wherever you are, that you can actually praise Him and thank Him no matter what you're going through. Just internal questions to ask. Verse 12. Therefore, this ministry of the Spirit we're talking about, you know, this is the dispensation of the Holy Ghost. This is His time. This is His time for you, and we have it way, way greater than the Old Testament prophets and priests and kings. Way greater. Because we have Him within us and upon us. They had the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, come upon them at certain times. We have Him in us. How much more glorious should our everyday lives be? Should we be at home wrangling, flailing in our mind, tossing and turning all the time, double-minded in everything we do? Tossed to and fro all the time? At home, when you're in your bed at night, anxious thoughts are coming. The fiery darts of the evil one are coming. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, in the spirit of faith. You got to catch this spirit of faith and get it. You ought to leave out of here today and go, oh, Lord Jesus, I want to walk in this spirit of faith where I know that I've got it. And I'm living it. And I can do it on my bed. I can do it in the shower. I can do it in my car. I can do it everywhere I'm at. Not just right here. Verse 12. Therefore, since we have such hope of this ministry of the Spirit, we use great boldness of speech. Now jump down to verse 17. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So it says, because of this ministry of the Spirit, we have great, should have great boldness of speech. And if you understand, and I'll talk about righteousness here in a minute, if you understand who you are in Christ, then you should be able to boldly approach the throne of God at any time, any day, anywhere, all the time, and use great boldness of speech. Meaning I can say, God, you said. God, this is what you said. You know, the devil is always trying to get you to reason in your mind and always trying to keep you in doubt and guilt and condemnation. You got to get free. The Bible says you either live in this ministry of righteousness or you live in the ministry of condemnation. One of the two. Where are you? You're not straddling the fence, I promise. You're living in the ministry of righteousness or the ministry of condemnation. You're in one or the other. And if you're living in this ministry of righteousness, the Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. So that means I can use great boldness of speech. I can approach the throne of God and I can say, Father, you're my healer. God, this is what you said. And I'll not be moved by snot coming out my nose. I'll not be moved by how I feel. You can't be moved by any of that. God, you said you meet all my needs according to your glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Every bill is paid. Now, this is not kooky stuff. This is not where I'm saying that don't balance your checkbook and don't pay your bills and don't work a job and say, God, you meet all my needs. It doesn't work like that, just so you know. You got to actually really do it. You got to actually know the state of your flocks, take care of your stuff, be responsible, get a job, do the word, actually be mature believers, right? And then when you are, you can stand boldly before God and say, God, this is what you said, and I believe it. You know, he said, keep me in remembrance of my word. It's not because he forgot it. It's because he's saying, just say it. Just say it. Just speak it out by faith. The eyes of the Lord are roaming to and fro, looking for someone whose heart is right, someone who's living this spirit of faith so that he can do great and awesome things. Ephesians says he wants to show out through you. Amen. He wants to do great and mighty things through each and every one of us. Verse 17, I just read it, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, and with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We're being transformed. If you want to get this spirit of faith, you got to actually day by day go from glory to glory and faith by faith. You got to do it every day. You got to live this saying day and night, night and day, all the time. Romans chapter 4. Let's talk about Abraham for just a minute. Romans chapter 4, verses 19 through 21. Fervent in spirit, capturing the spirit of faith. Verse 19 says, listen to Abraham. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider. He did not consider. Let me say it again. He did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, God was also able to perform. He did not reason. He did not consider. He did not hesitate. He did not doubt. Do you think any kind of doubt tried to come to his mind? And he didn't even have the Holy Ghost within him. He was 100 years old, and it says, not being weak. If he cannot be weak in faith, we should not be weak in faith. We should be strong in faith, reigning in our spirit man, strengthened by the Holy Ghost. He did not consider. Sometimes we consider too much. We consider our situation, our circumstances, our job, our relationships. We consider those things. We take all those things into account. We reason in our mind why this is happening to me, why I'm going through this. This is such a hard season. So it will be for you. It'll be that. If that's what you believe, do not consider. You got to get, you know, Brother Hagin got to such a place where he said, you know, I don't even sometimes realize I even have a body. Now, I'm not there yet. But we got to get to that place where we realize I'm thinking more. I'm more in the spirit. I'm more thinking about God first. That's my first default. That's my first go-to. That's my first response. That's my first word. That's the first reaction. That's the first everything. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all those other things. We want all those other things. We consider all those other things first when he says, just seek me first and stand in that position of righteousness that I've put you in. And then you can just call those things out and they'll come to you. And that's how he wants us to live. But Abraham did not consider. You know, when you were a kid, you sang that song, Father Abraham, have many sons. Many sons have Father Abraham. You know, can you really sing that? Because are you weak in faith or strong in faith? Is he your daddy or not? If he is your daddy, then you should be strong in faith. Then you should be considering not all those things that are hitting you right now in your life. And it doesn't mean you ignore them. It doesn't mean you deny them. Denying stuff is not faith. It is not faith for snot to be running out of my nose and me to say, my nose is not running, my nose is not running, my nose is not running. That is not faith. That is denial. My nose is running. It's really not running, but my nose is running. But God, you said. Father, you said. Make sure you understand and have a clear picture of what faith is so that you can be strong in it. And so that you can actually say, Abraham is my father because I'm strong in faith and I'm not considering. And the scripture says he was strengthened in his faith because he did not allow unbelief in. Every time you allow unbelief in, it weakens your faith. It weakens it. Do not give unbelief not 1 second, not 1 minute. Not one consideration at all. Be fervent. Don't give your flesh an opportunity. Don't give your flesh an opportunity. Your body, your bills, your finances, your situation. This is life or death. I'm telling you, this is life or death, faith or doubt. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, the same spirit of, say, I have the same spirit of faith. According to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore we speak. And David in Psalms 116 also said, I believed, therefore I spoke. You know, David was going through some trials, just like if you go back up in 2 Corinthians 4, it says, we're hard pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. It's not like stuff is not coming at you. But you got to be so convinced and so solid that you say, I believe, therefore I speak. It doesn't matter what's coming at me. I believe, therefore I speak. I'm so convinced. I'm not putting on a religious show. I'm talking about true faith, the spirit of faith. We don't look at things that are seen ever. We look at the things that are in the unseen. Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. Let me get through this. Verse 10 says, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of the brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him. Now, if he can accuse you day and night, if he can accuse you day and night all the time, do you think you ought to be living by faith day and night all the time? You think you ought to be speaking out boldly day and night all the time? You think you ought to be singing praises and thanksgiving to him day and night all the time? So day and night has been cast down, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Now that scripture is not talking about your testimony, like what God delivered you out of. It is not talking about that. When it says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, that word of your testimony means that you're speaking prophetically the word of God every day. That whatever comes to you, let's say it's a symptom. This symptom comes, I can say, I overcome by the blood of the Lamb, and because God, you said by your stripes I'm healed. God, you said. That is the word of your testimony. It is you speaking prophetically what God said. So if you want to overcome, you got to overcome by declaring the word of God and not consider and love your life more than that. You got to be laying your life down, not considering your life. Be fervent, be strong, be quick. You believe, therefore you speak. Now, let's go to number two. Number two, an indicator that you have a strong spirit, a reigning spirit, is that you have victory. Spirit of faith is a spirit of victory. Now, we can walk around here and I can look at some people and go, you got victory. And some people I go, you got defeat. There's something else going on. You, if you have victory, and we're going to talk about it, you ought to have joy. And you ought to have peace no matter what. No matter what. And if something knocks you down, the Bible says the righteous man gets back up. He keeps getting back up. If it knocks you down, you get up and wipe your brow and wipe your mouth off and say, God, you said, I'll not be moved. You've got to have this victory on the inside. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. This is that spirit of faith. It says, whatever is, are you born of God? Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, the spirit of faith. I want to read it to you in the Passion Translation. It says, you see, every child of God overcomes the world, for our faith is the victorious power that triumphs over the world. It's your faith, your faith. You conquer, you prevail, you run to get the prize because you have this spirit of faith on the inside. 1 John 4:4, it says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You got to ask yourself when you get up every morning, do you look in the mirror and go, ooh, or do you go, do you see in the spirit first and go, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world? This is the day that you've made, God, and I rejoice. I'll be glad in this day. I trust you. I trust you, Holy Ghost. You've conquered the world in the spirit. That's why you've got to get in the spirit and stay in the spirit. Live in the spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. They're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The scripture says, for we don't war against the flesh. We don't war. We walk. Here's what the scripture says. Let me just read it. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. We do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of your warfare are not carnal. Amen. But what are they? Mighty. They're mighty. They're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. This spirit of faith is happening on the inside of you. And if you're not pulling down those strongholds and pulling down those fiery darts that come at you constantly, then you're not going to conquer. You have mighty weapons in the spirit. The word of God is the sword of the spirit. When those things come at you, be super quick to say, nope, God, you said. When thoughts of defeat, when thoughts of depression, when thoughts of lack, when thoughts of worry come to you, you got to be so quick to take captive that thought and say, God, you said, my weapons are mighty in you. Holy Ghost, this is what you said. This is how you overcome in life. This is how you sit there and not be sad. Everybody smile. Good job. Okay, 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. It says, I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. And I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. You have overcome the wicked one. Do you have victory? You can answer me right now, but I internally want you to ask that question. Do you have victory no matter what? No matter what's coming at you, are you living in a state of victory? When it comes, do you know, I've conquered this in the spirit? So let me get over in the spirit. Let me get over into God what you said. I've conquered this. I have the victory. And you've got to remind yourself when those things come, go, I have the victory. What could this church accomplish if all of us were really on the same page? If we were really in unity, Because that's where the Bible said God commands the blessing. He commands the blessing when we're all unified. And that doesn't just mean that we can all come up in here and be unified, because just getting us unified in here sometimes is hard. Because some of you are hooked up, some of you are drawing, and some of you are going. So just getting unity here is one thing, but can you imagine what we could conquer as a church? Please just let me be your coach right now. Can I come down and slap a few of you? I would love to do that right now. It would be totally love. It really would be. What was I saying? Yeah. Unity. What could we do as a team, as a body, if we all got in unity? Not just here, but can we start here? Can we start and when you come in here, you bring a supply of faith, or you don't. It's one or the other. So when you come in here, are you just like sliding in, just like, oh, I got to get in here and get sat down, find my seat. And, we live in this culture of entertainment. We scroll, we watch, we stare, we zone out. We want to be entertained. We want things to come to us. We want to, we want to sit back and go, come on, Pastor Angie, what you got? Show me something. What you got? You got anything? We're conditioned that way. You got to get out of that. You got to get out of that. You got to quit coming in here and sitting and expecting to be entertained and expecting for somebody to come out and grab your spirit, man, and say, come on, you got this. Get out of that. Be a team player. Be somebody that comes in here and brings your spirit of faith. Be somebody that comes in here and says, I'm believing God for a word. I'm believing for people to get delivered. I'm believing, God, that you're bringing people from the northeast, south, and west. I'm believing you, Lord, that you're speaking to me. I thank you, Lord, that you supply everything that I need. Come in here and bring something. Quit being dead weight in here. I'm not saying you are. I'm just, just trying to tell you something. For a minute. Okay, number three. Let's try to wrap this up. Number three, joy and peace in believing. These are indicators. These are indicators. You're fervent. You're a conqueror. You conquer things right away. You're quick to speak the word of God. Number two was you've got the victory. You got the victory. You've got the greater one on the inside of you. You've got the victory. And number three is joy and peace in believing. Romans chapter 14, verse 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's not the seen stuff. It's not just talking about right here food and drink. It's talking about the seen realm. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, in the Spirit of faith. You're not going to have peace and joy in the Holy Ghost if you don't understand your righteousness. If you don't understand this is a gift, righteousness is a gift. It's not anything that you did on your own merit. It is a gift. That is why in Romans chapter 5, it says that you can reign in life because of the gift of righteousness. He literally did not just take all your sin. He did not just take everything for you. It's not innocence that gets you in the kingdom of God. He not only took all that, but he actually imputed or transferred to your account his righteousness. That's why you can stand boldly before him, before the throne of God, because you're in him. You're literally hidden in him. The Bible says you died with him, you rose with him, you were buried with him, you rose with him. You're in him. And so you should walk around all the time. It's in him that I live. It's in him that I move. It's in him that I have my being. It's in him. I'm hidden. It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. If you understand that position of righteousness, you'll have peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. If you're living in the spirit of faith, if you have a reigning spirit, if you have a strong spirit, you'll have peace and you'll have joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans 15:13 says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Ghost." It says that he may fill you with all hope and all joy and peace in believing. Should you have joy and peace in your believing? I'm going to tell you, if you think you're believing and you don't have joy and peace, you're not in faith. You are not in faith if you do not have peace and joy. And the minute you discern, I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 10 in just a minute. The minute you discern that anxiety is trying to hit you, you got to have enough maturity and enough strength on the inside of you that you can recognize that right away and say, "I will be anxious for nothing, not one thing. But through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, I make my request known to you, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guards my heart and my mind." You got to be mature enough in your faith and have this spirit of faith that you can recognize those things when they come. God's first covenant people, when he established the feasts and he established them when they were bringing their tithes and offerings, there's multiple places where he commanded them to rejoice. I want to read one to you, Leviticus chapter 23, verses 40 through 43. It says, "And you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of leafy trees, and the willows of the brook. And listen, you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days." He literally told them they were going to rejoice. So if I walk down here, and said, "Sabrina, Indolin, I need you to rejoice right now. I need you to do it." You don't have to do it. But I need you to rejoice for 7 days straight. Okay, I like the response. But I could walk to some of you and say, "I need you to go rejoice for 7 days right now." And you'd be like, "Don't tell me what to do. Tell me what to do." God told them to rejoice. He didn't ask them how they were feeling. He didn't ask them what their circumstances were. He didn't ask them if they had conquered anything yet. He didn't ask them any of those questions. He said, "Now here's what you're going to do. You're going to rejoice for 7 days." This is not the only place where he told them to do that. And in the New Testament, he tells us to do that. This is a choice. God's not in control. It's not about when you feel like laughing. It's not about when you feel like being thankful. It's not about when you feel like rejoicing. It's not about when you feel like it. You've got to do it. You've got to just choose every day. When our girls were little, we didn't give them a choice of whether or not they wanted to be happy. They didn't have a choice. We literally told them, "You're going to have a thankful heart." We didn't ask them. We didn't give an option. If they got pouty or teary or whatever, I said, "Get yourself together. You have a thankful heart and you have a happy heart. Be glad for what you have. That's an easy way to start." It was a VeggieTales song. We used to sing it. And that was it. That was their only choice. And that's how some of our parents here, that's a nugget for you. We should be that way with our kids. We let our kids decide way too much. Way too much. Let them choose how they want to feel. What's this little gentle, soft parenting? I'm telling you, that's not our parenting class. That will not be our parenting class at all. It's no different with your Father God, though. And it's not mean. It's life. It's life for you. So when you wake up in the morning, you ought to go, I'm going to rejoice. I don't care how I feel. That's how you get the victory. And that's how you go from strength to strength. And that's how you go from faith to faith. And that's how you go from glory to glory. That's how it happens. I don't care what you think about it. That's how it works. That's how the spirit of faith works. You choose to rejoice. You choose to believe. You choose every day whom you're going to serve. Either you're going to serve yourself, or you're going to serve him. A lot of people in our culture today serve themselves. Whatever they want to do, they do. However they want to feel, they feel. We should not be that way. We've overcome the world. And if you look the same as the world, you should not. You should not look the same as the world. So he required them to rejoice. And that word rejoice means to be cheerful and to brighten up. Get happy. Don't wait till you feel like doing it. Just do it. Just do it. You know, we're supposed to have faith like a child. What does a child do when a song comes on? They dance. It doesn't take them any time. Doesn't take them any time to dance. Doesn't take them any time to sing. Doesn't take them any time to jump. Doesn't take them any time to do that. How come we're so dignified? How come we can't just quickly jump in? How come we can't just quickly respond? The scripture says, you foolish Galatians. You foolish Anchor Faithians. How come you started this thing out in the spirit and now you want to continue in the flesh? How come? You got to get out of you. It's not you. It's not about you. It never was about you. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, but it's not. It's not about you. And you got to just every day make a decision that you're going to live in this spirit of faith, no matter what. Proverbs 17:22. Everything the Lord tells us requires a response. Everything that he tells us. A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. It literally affects your health if you don't have joy and peace. It happens in your body. Your chemicals get off. Things happen in your brain that throw every chemical off in your body and cause you to be unhealthy when you are sad. When you are worried, when you are anxious, when you are depressed, when you allow the spirit of fear to come in your life, it changes what happens in your physical body. It doesn't matter how often you go to the gym. It doesn't matter how healthy you eat. That is part of it. And you need to do that. But it's about where you're at on the inside. What you're believing. What you're trusting. What you're putting your faith in every single day. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 says, my brethren, here we go in the New Testament. He's telling us what to do. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces perseverance or produces patience. Count it joy. Yeah. He didn't give you an option. He didn't ask you. He didn't ask you how you felt. He said, brethren, sistren, when something comes at you, count it joy. Count it joy. You got to get good at this. I'm telling you, you got to get good at it. It's not a personality thing. It's not a Pastor Angie thing. It is not that. It is a faith thing. It doesn't matter what your feeling, what your personality is. You've got to choose to count it joy all the time. Emotions are always going to be there. They're always going to hit you. They're always going to come at you. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Before we go there, let me read Proverbs 21, 28 real quick. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Deuteronomy 31, 26 says, be strong and of good courage, and do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Can you realize that God, it's in him everything was made. You were made. You were created. He formed every one of your days out before one of them came to be. And that you're just supposed to walk this out by faith and yield to him. Revelation 2:7. I'm going to just give you these references. These are multiple references in Revelations that says, to him who overcomes. To him who overcomes. To him who overcomes. It's your choice whether you're going to overcome. It's your choice whether you're going to live in this spirit of faith or a spirit of doubt. Revelation 2:7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Revelation 2:11, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Revelation 2:17, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name. We sang that song, a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. Revelation 2:26, and he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give the power over the nations. Revelation 3:5, he who overcomes shall be clothed with white garments, and I will blot out his name from the book of life, but I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Revelation 3:12, to he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. Revelation 3:21, to him who overcomes. You see the consistent thing, this consistent theme here. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Revelation 21, 7 and 8. To him who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. To him who overcomes, whose choice is it to overcome? It's ours. Whose choice is it to have a strong spirit? Whose choice is it to reign in your spirit? Ephesians chapter 6, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. 1 Corinthians 16, 13, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, and be strong. I want to read it to you in the Amplified. Be on guard, stand firm in your faith in God, respecting his precepts and keeping your doctrine sound. Act like mature men and be courageous. Be strong. I'm telling you, the spirit of fear is just that. It is a spirit, and you better recognize it when it comes. When that spirit of timidity and fear comes to you, you better take authority over it right away, because you'll live in doubt. You'll live in anxiety. You'll live in fear if you allow it in. Anything that you recognize that you've allowed a spirit of fear to gain access, you better get strengthened in your spirit and take dominion. Take authority over that thing. Hebrews chapter 10. And I'll close with this. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you've come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. Please listen to this. Please listen to this. Solid food belongs to those who are of full age, who, that is, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. First of all, it says if you don't understand who you are in Christ, if you don't understand that you're the righteousness of God in Christ, you're a baby. And it says if you're mature, then you can, by reason of use, by practice, you're able to discern clearly between good and evil. That you have full discernment. When things come at you, you can easily discern because you're mature, you're strong in your faith. I can go, nope, that's evil. I recognize that and I take dominion. I take authority over that. By reason of use, we take authority. We recognize, we discern those things that try to come against us having a strong spirit. Proverbs 18:14 says, the spirit of man will sustain him in sickness. Not just sickness, everything. Everything in life. But a broken spirit, who can bear? Hebrews chapter 10, verses 38 and 39 says, the just shall live by faith, and if anyone draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. You've got to be like David. You know, in the Psalms, David said, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you so distraught within me? You got to talk to your soul. It's okay to talk to yourself in that kind of way. You got to say, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you worried about many things? Why are you flailing around? Why are you shadowboxing, oh my soul? Why are you trying to get things from God? Why are you trying to figure things out on your own? You got to be like David and say, why are you doing that, oh my soul? Why are you downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God. That's what he says in the scripture. Why are you downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God. For despair is a waste of time, don't you know? Put your hope in God. You got to talk to your soul. You got to take dominion. In Luke, it says, in your patience or in your perseverance, you possess your soul. Nobody's going to possess it for you. You've got to do it. And I'm going to end with this scripture, Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. He will strengthen your spirit. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You've got to internally ask the question with these signs or these indicators. Do I have a strong spirit? Am I fervent? Do I quickly default to the Spirit of God? Do I quickly speak the Word of God? Do I quickly jump over in faith, or am I more quick to side with the seen realm? Am I fervent? Am I hot? Am I stirred up? Am I built up on the inside? That's one indicator that you have a reigning spirit, a strong spirit. Do I have the victory? Do you have the victory? Do you live in victory? Do you live conquering? Do you conquer on the inside? Is the greater one on the inside of you? Can you conquer anything that comes at you? That is an indicator that you have a reigning spirit. And then the last one was joy and peace in believing. You better recognize if you have joy and if you have peace in the Holy Ghost. Because if you don't, then I would venture to say you're not in a position of faith. Because faith sees it done. The spirit of faith has victory and knows it's already taken care of. Doesn't matter what I see. All those things are under my feet. I can stay positioned in my seat of authority. I can yield to what the Word of God says and what the Holy Ghost is telling me about every situation. Oh, my prayer for you today is that you be strengthened in your faith, that you capture this spirit of faith on the inside, that we leave out of here, Father God, and we ask ourselves the question, do I have joy? Do I have peace? Am I fervent on the inside? Am I quick to boldly speak the Word of God? Do I walk around like I have victory? Then we ask ourselves these questions and we do an inventory, and we don't walk out of here and just walk right back into our everyday situations and the heaviness and the anxiety and the cares of life, but we're quick to cast those things off. We're quick to get the victory. We're quick to speak what you said, Father. We're quick to choose joy. We're quick to choose peace. We're quick to live this thing out. And I thank you, Father God, as this church gets in unity, hallelujah, as this church gets in unity in the Spirit, unity not when we're just in this building, but when we're in our homes, she's speaking it over there and he's speaking it over there and I'm speaking it in my home, and there's an anointing that begins to build and begins to draw people into this church so that sicknesses can be broken off of them and heaviness can come off of them, because we're in unity, and we're in unity in our homes, not just here in the church. And I just thank you, Father God, that we'll do this thing, that we're quickened on the inside.
Thank you so much for listening to this message. If you want more, subscribe to our message podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Rating and leaving a comment will go a long way with helping our messages get better circulation. If you'd enjoy watching our weekend messages, visit youtube.com/anchorfaith. We'd love it if you'd subscribe, leave a comment, or a like on the messages. If you'd like to find out more information about us and how we're influencing the world and help support the work we're doing by giving, just visit anchorfaith.com.